Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Menachos Daf Nun Beis. We begin at the fifth line off the top of the Amud at the Tudas. Tana Rabbanan, we begin with a braisa, a discussion we actually already had way back in Maseches Harayos, if you recall. But it also links into our sugya as well. Tana Rabbanan, here comes an interesting question regarding the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So this is where the public erroneously committed a sin because they were misled by the erroneous ruling of the Bezdin HaGadol. And that necessitates a special carbon, a special chatas called a par, a cow, Helam Davar, due to the forgetfulness, you know, the concealment of the halacha, which led to a transgression. So it's Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, which the Tzibur brings. So the question will be who? How do they finance it? One choice would be, well, take from the general treasury, the Trumas the Lishka, right? The Trumas HaLishka, where they had all the Machtas HaShekels that were collected on a yearly basis to finance the Karbonis. Now, typically you finance, the standard. It's meant for the standard expected karbanos, right? The Tamid and the Musaf. But this is something unanticipated. So the question is, how do we pay for it? Do we take the Trumas HaLishka funds, or do we make a new collection specifically for this purpose? And this relates to two karbanos, either the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur or Us Iri Avodas Gechavim. This is a similar situation where the Tzibur sinned with respect to Avodah Zarah. How do we finance it? Batchila Magbin Lahan, we make a brand new collection. Everybody sends in their, a set amount. Rabbi Negashin Shem says a pruta, and that's what they use to buy the this carbon. Rabbi Yehuda, that's his opinion. Rabbi Shimon, I'm Metrumas Halishka in Bay. No, we don't make a new collection. We take from the existing funds in the Trumas Halishka in the Beis Hamikdash, meant for public carbonis, which certainly fits the bill in this case. So that's one version of the Machlekes. Okay, Rabbi Shimon says Trumas Halishka. Batani Ifcha, we have a Braisa, which switches their opinions. Rabbi Shimon actually says that it necessitates a brand new collection. So the question is, which one was the updated version? Which one was the last recent version? Hai Minay Vachrita, which one was the last one that he said? Was it the Trumas HaLishka, or was it a brand new collection? Amru Rabbonon. So the Chachamim suggested Kamei de Ravashi, before Ravashi, Lema Kamei Sachrita. We want to suggest that the first version here, where Rav Shimon says you fund it from the Trumas HaLishka, was the last and final, version of Rav Shimon. Why? How do we know? Because if you recall yesterday, we had a discussion regarding a whole different topic. The Minchas Chavitin that a Kohen Gadol is meant to bring on a daily basis, it passes away in the interim until they find a new, Kohen Gadol to replace him. Who brings the, who pays for the, who's responsible to look after the Minchas Chavitin? So according to Rav Shimon, we have a pasuk that the public brings it. But as we learned yesterday, the Chachamim were Mesakin after they saw that the funds were being depleted because there were so many Kohanim that were passing away on them, and the need was great, and it depleted their funds. So they shifted the responsibility to the kids, the sons of the Kohen Gadol. But then, when they saw that it was being neglected, there was pshia taking place, they were just not tending to it. So they restored the old system where the public would fund it. Okay, so that's yesterday, and now we're going to refer to that. So we're suggesting that regarding our topic, our discussion, funding these karbanos, the Par Helam Davar, Siri Avodah Zarah, that the final and more definitive version of Rav Shimon's opinion is that it's actually publicly funded. Why? Because otherwise, if it's going to require a new collection, Rav Shimon is concerned about pshia, about neglect. They might not tend to it, and it might not be looked after if it requires more effort and more investment of, right? The Shamin led Rav Shimon, because we know that Rav Shimon holds the Chayish Lepshia, is concerned about neglect, about not necessarily carrying through your responsibilities, as we saw yesterday by the Mechas Chavitin. And that's why it was shifted back to the Trumas HaLishka here as well. It's more probable that that would be his actual opinion, his final position regarding these Karbanos as well. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi responds to this. He says, look, I hear your point, but perhaps that factor would not really be a concern in this setting over here. Yesterday, yeah, but not today. Why? I feel it in Basrai Sachrit. So even we go the other way, that the second version that we have here, where Rav Shimon says that the public would make a new collection, they would launch a new campaign to fund these karbanos, perhaps that's the achrita, that's the last and more final, definitive version of Rav Shimon's opinion. Why? We're not concerned about neglect. We're not concerned about them not doing it. Because they have benefit from it. When is Rav Shimon concerned about pshia? Yesterday, regarding a carbon that they don't really have atoned from it. The Yorshim, the kids have nothing from it, so to speak. It's their father's issue, they're just filling in for him. But the paralam davar of today, that's something that we all benefit from. We need the kapara. We send. We need the kapara. Of course, we will take it seriously. But milsa de islu kapara b'gava, something which they have an interest in, they have kapara from it. Certainly, you can say lo yechayish Rav Shimon l'pshia. Rav Shimon is not concerned about pshia. Rest assured, the collection will take place. The campaign will be a success, and the karban will be brought. Mayavela. Okay, what's the conclusion here? Which way is it? Amar le rabba zuti le rabashi tashma. We have a raisa, which quotes Rav Shimon, and now we'll see what he really holds. The sanya as karbani lachmi li ishai, reich nechaychi, tishmuru lahakr li b'mayadai. So this is based on a pasuk, which actually refers to the Karban Tamid, but in very lengthy terms. Karbani lachmi lishai, referring to other karbanos as well. Says the Gemara, says Rav Shimon, this pasuk is equating other very specific karbanos to the Karban Tamid, which of course is funded by way of the Trumas HaLishka, right? The rabbis, it covers also Parahalam Davashal Tzibur, Usir Avadis Kachavim, that just as the Karban HaTamid is funded via the Trumas HaLishka funds, these two Sheboin, they are purchased Mitrumas HaLishka de Reb Shimon. Okay, here we go. Reb Shimon, in his own words, based on a pasuk, which Rashi says, tells us that it's the Ikar. This is certainly the more authoritative conclusion. So that's the maskana. According to Rav Shimon, these karbanos are funded by way of the Trumas HaLishka. Ushleima Yisakriv. So let's go back to the Mishnah, which discusses Minchas Chavitin. And we're speaking in a case where Kohen Gadol had passed away, and they are awaiting, you know, appointment of a new Kohen Gadol. In the interim, they continue with the Minchas Chavitin, whether it's funded by the Tzibur or the Yerushim, that was the Machlekes. But the Mishnah concludes with the word Ushleima Yisakreva. So instead of your typical half and half system where you bring in Yisarin and half goes in the morning, half in the afternoon, here it's a complete Yisarin. The question is, what does the Mishnah mean? Ushleima Yisakreva. Amar Chib, Amar Boi Rab Yeichan, Rab Yeichan had a question on this. Does that mean that you do a full Yisarin in the morning and a full Yisarin in the afternoon as well? So it's basically a double dose. Or is it one Yisarin in the morning and that's it? Because you're not meant to do more than one Yisarin in total per day. Which way is it? Boi Rabich. Shleima Shachris, a full Yisarin in the morning. Shleima Ben Abayim in the evening as well. Oidim or Shleima Shachris, a full Yisarin in the morning. Shleima Shachris. Ubetela Ben Abayim in the afternoon. There was nothing added to it. So it's one Yisarin in the morning only. The point is that it should be complete rather than half-half, but it's ultimately just a full Yisarin and no more. Amar Rav Tashma. Let me try to clarify this point. Based on a Mishnah Maseches Tamid, which provides a printout, a list of all the kohanim that are involved. They had this lottery in the morning. They determined which kohanim will be involved in processing the Karban HaTamid and its accessories. So it gives us a total of 13 kohanim. One, you know, will do the shechita, one will do the zrik, right? Toshma Shmini, the eighth kohen is meant to take care of the chavitim, Shmini v'chavitim. He'll offer the chavitim on the mizbeach. Now, v'misad b'teilu ben arbayim, if you're going to suggest that at times, right, when there's no kohen gadol alive and they're doing this interim system, it only applies in the morning and the afternoon is idle, so why are we referring to with absoluteness to an eighth kohen being involved in the tamid because of the chavitim? In the afternoon tamid, there isn't always an eighth kohen. Why? There isn't always chavitim. It can happen that sometimes, in this type of situation, where they only brought in the morning and that's it, turns out in the afternoon there's no eighth kohen for the chavitim. Why does the Mishnah list it as an absolute, as an ever-present system? Right? For instance, in the case where the kohen gadol passed away, right? And the appointment was not yet, replacement was not yet appointed, and the tzibur or whatever is bringing the the chavitim in the interim, as they fully start in the morning only. So the afternoon, there's no chavitim, there's no eighth kohen to talk of. So the fact that the Mishnah does refer to an eighth kohen with absoluteness sounds like it's a constant, continuous type of thing with no abatement. So that should pretty much clarify our question. It appears that we don't suspend the afternoon chavitim, even in this type of situation. So who brought this raya? That was Rav, who lived in Bavel. Amru Rabban Kamed Rabbi Yirmiya. So the Chachamim eventually offered this insight of Rav from way back from Bavel to Rabbi Yirmiya, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. He went up, he moved up from Eretz Yisrael from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Amar. He was less than impressed. He says, "Bavloi tipshoi, the silly dwellers of Babylonia, mishum diyasu ba'asu dechashecha, because they're dwelling in this dark land, low down, you know, land in Bavel. Amri shmatzu the machashchan, that gets them to say things which are dark and unsubstantiated." He didn't like this this raya, basically. He says, look further in the Mishnah. Okay, you refer to the number 8, and is he always present? Is he not? Okay, but let's take a look at the other numbers. El Tani Shvi B'Soilis, Tri B'Yayin. We have Kohen number 7 in that Mishnah, who will deal with the, who will offer the Soilis of the Mincha, which comes with the Tamid. The 9th, the Kohen, tends to the wine. Hachanamit Le'batli? Are these absolute, ever-present components? You think it never happens that it's suspended and not relevant? Although you meant to bring these items, but technically you could bring it tomorrow, day after. Menchasim Neskem teaches us, Belaila. Menchasim Neskem Afilu Lamachar. Following night, the next day. Right? So it isn't an absolute arrangement. You don't always have the kohen with the wine. They can choose to bring it tomorrow. Ella, so you must say, Dee. Like Tony, the Mishnah is not referring to exceptions. The Mishnah presents the, you know, the standard procedure. Of course, there are exceptions. Hachanam di like Tony, same with the number 8, the Chavitim. The Mishnah is not implying that it's an ever-present, absolute, feature. It can very well be that sometimes he's not there, but it's just talking about the standard, routine. So you can't really prove anything from there. That was Rabbi Yirmiya's response. Okay, now this message got back to Rava. Adrua came to Rava, and he sort of took issue. He says, "Amar," he says, "Maybe Shusin Amri." When he heard this non-compliment from Rabbi Yirmiya, he says, "You know, they always tell the people in Israel our bad stuff, our less than impressive, insights." Amri Kamayu, they presented a mitivus and like Amri Kamayu. But they failed to tell them all good stuff. In any case, Hadama Rava himself thought for a moment. He says, "You know what? Actually, I don't think what I said was that bad. Hani nami tivusini. Actually, this insight that I said from the Mishnah is actually a good, it's a good point. I stick to it. I hold by it. That actually, it's true. We do not suspend the afternoon chavitin, even in a case where the Kohen Gadol is not, you know, not an office, and it's based on a pasuk, a makro. The pasuk connects this minchas chavitin to the tamid. Korban tamid is absolute, unsuspendable, right? Ever present, a makro soilas mincha tamid, telling us to connect one to the other. Harihi, so the minchas chavitin, harilach is treated like minchas tamidin, like the mincha of a tamid, which is absolute. Okay, so what is the conclusion at the end of the day? We have Rava's opinion. Again, we're talking where Kohen Gadol passed away. New one has yet to be appointed. In the interim, we bring the Minchas Chavitin in a different format. Shleima Yisei Krei, we bring it as a full, complete Yisarim without splitting it. Question is, do you bring just one in the morning, that's it for the day? Or do you bring one in the morning, one in the afternoon? Rava says, twice. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, perhaps just the morning. The Brisa clearly states, you bring a full Yisarin in the morning and a full one in the afternoon. Okay, now, let's go back to the original Minchas Chavitin that Kohen Gadol brings during his lifetime, right? He brings a full Yisarin to the Beis HaMikdash, and on site he splits it into two parts. Half he processes in the morning, half in the afternoon. Now we learned that it comes together with Lavoina. A scoop, you know, a kaimetz of Lavoina, of the spice, of the incense. The question is like this. Typically, when you offer Lavoina, it should be a kaimetz. That's the minimum quantity, right? But in this case, where you're splitting the amount into two portions, and doing half the morning, half in the afternoon, what happens to the Lavoina? Do you do the same with the Lavoina? Do you take the kaimetz of Lavoina and do, well, half in the morning with the morning portion, half in the afternoon with the afternoon portion? Do you say no? We never find the Lavoina less than a kaimetz. So ultimately, you have to take a kaimetz of Lavoina in the morning with the half Yisarin, another kaimetz of Lavoina in the afternoon. We have machlekes. Omar Rabbi Yechanan, pligiva, there's machlekes in this regard between Abba Yosef ben Dostoy and the Rabban. Abba Yosef ben Dostoy Omer, he says, a kaimetz in the morning and a kaimetz levoina in the afternoon. Mafra shnei kmatzim, set aside two kaimetzes. Shal levoina of levoina, kaimetz shachris, one for the morning, the kaimetz for the afternoon in Arbaim. Rabban Amri, no. It's one kaimetz in total. Mafra shlo kaimetz echad. And you split it into two parts. Chatzi kaimetz, half of it you do in the morning, shachris, with the half isarin, right? The chatzi kaimetz in Arbaim, the other half in the afternoon. My kaimetz, what's the machlekes? What's the root of this machlekes? Abu Yosef in the story of Sovar, he holds, look, it's unprecedented. We don't find ever a half a kaimetz on of Levina put on the Mizbeach, Le Ashkon, Chatzi kaimetz, the Karev. So, inevitably, it has to be one kaimetz in the morning, one in the afternoon, to accompany each portion of the Chavid. Rabbanu Sovar, they disagree. Le Ashkon, Yisoran, the Boishnei Kmatzim. We don't find ever that one Yisoran should require two kaimetzes. So here it's one kaimetz. Sure, it's split into two parts and brought separately, but ultimately it's one isarin. One isarin needs one kaimetz. So you have to split it into two parts. Okay, now the next question. Boy Rabbi Yechon. Okay, so this is a given, right? Standard procedure with the regular kohen gadol requires a full isarin, a flour, split into two parts, half offered in the morning, half in the afternoon. According to Rabbanu, you take one kaimetz levoina as well, you split it into two parts, half the morning, half the afternoon. According to Rabbanu, you take one kaimetz levoina for the morning and one kaimetz for the afternoon. But Rabbi Yechon, comes a question regarding a kohen gadol shemeis. Okay, next point. Let's say a kohen gadol had passed on. New appointment was not yet appointed. Okay, so now, as we learned, we continue the chavitin, but we don't split into two parts. We take it fully sorin and process it in the morning, and as we learned before, full one in the afternoon as well. Now the question is, the Rabbanan, who until this point said that you only have a single kaimetz levoina in total, which is split, right? half in the morning with the half Yisurin, half in the afternoon with the other half Yisurin. But in this case, we are no longer dealing with halves. It's a full Yisurin in the morning, a full Yisurin in the afternoon. So perhaps even the Rabbanim would agree in this case, since things are doubled. So sure, bring a full Kaimitz Levain in the morning with the full Yisurin, and a full Kaimitz Levain in the afternoon with the other full Yisurin. There's no reason to split it. It's one Kaimitz per Yisurin, right? That's the standard formula. Rabbanim, according to the Shittas Rabbanim, do we double the quantity of the levaina? Or perhaps not. Shall we say? Just as we double the flour, full isarin in morning and a full isarin in afternoon, likewise, that necessitates double levaina as well. Then what you can say? No. Who says? My degali, what the Torah reveals to us, to double the soilus. Gali, okay, that's revealed, that's indicated that my deloy gali, but what wasn't taught, what wasn't revealed, what wasn't told, legali. So we don't assume that it's that there's any change. Okay, so that's the first question. The interim system, which necessitates a fully sar in the morning, a full one in the afternoon. According to Rabbanan, how much levaina? Do we stick to the old amount, just a single kaimitz split into two, or do we double the levaina as well? Full kaimitz in the morning, a full kaimitz in the afternoon. Next question. Again, still at this juncture, where we're doing the interim system. What about the oil, the shemen? So typically you have three lug, right, as we learned the other day, per isarin. But now that we double the flour, the dose of flour, instead of just one isarin, it's really a total of two per day. Do we double the oil as well? V'shemen bein labayesim in the story, bein the rabbanon, whether according to the rabbanon or v'yesim in the story, doesn't matter. The question will apply to all equally. Mao. What do? We double it or not? Amar Rava says, Rava, let me try to clarify it based on a Mishnah. Tashma. Hey, Kmatzenei. Mishnah speaks about different variations of chaimetzes, right? So different halachas that relate to a chaimetz quantity of material. Okay, hey kmatzenheim. One is the chaimetz of levaina of a regular mincha. One is the chaimetz that you scoop out of the flour, the dough, and put on mizbech. One is the chaimetz which relates to a person takes a chaimetz of mincha material and offers it outside the Beis HaMikdash. She has violated the Isra of Shechut of Achutz, right? You can't, you're not allowed to bring a carbon outside the Mikdash. So the idea of a Kaimetz quantity can have five manifestations. Rashi actually points out that the Mishnah does not list the Kaimetz of the Levoina of the Chavitin because it's not brought as one entity, right? Typically it's split into two. The Kaimetz is split, part in the morning, part in the afternoon, according to the Rabbanu. So we don't actually list a standard, the regular Kaimetz Levoina of Chavitim in that Mishnah. But the question would be like this. If in this type of circumstance, where we're doing the interim system, right, you're meant to double the Kaimetz of Levoina, do a full Kaimetz in the morning, full in the afternoon, so why isn't that scenario listed in the Mishnah? As another example, another manifestation of the Kaimetz, quantity. Bimisa, if it's true that we do a Kaimetz in the morning, Kaimetz in the afternoon, Zimnan the Mishkach Lazayin, you can have a case of seven, five of the Mishnah, and two more of this. So the Eloik Tani, once again, we're not talking about, you know, unusual, exceptional cases. The Kohen Gadol died, and that's not, you know, what the Mishnah is addressing. The Mishnah is addressing standard cases. The Eloik Tani, okay. Yosef Rav Papa, become a little Shmait. Rav Papa was sitting and saying over at this point that the Mishnah doesn't speak about exceptional cases, and that's why it's not referred to in the Mishnah. Amalei Rav Yosef Bar Shmaya, he turned to Rav Papa. Really? V'malo kaimetz v'chutz. The Mishnah mentions a person who's doing the kaimetz outside the Mikdash, which is not standard procedure, of course, right? D'i hava, it's very much an exception. Uktani, the Mishnah does refer to it. So why didn't the Mishnah refer to the Levaina of the Chavitim, if in fact it is true that you bring two Kaimetzes of Levayim. No, so what's the conclusion? My Havayala, back to the question. This interim system between the previous Kohen Gadol's passing and the new Kohen Gadol's appointment, where we bring a fully sarin at a time, fully sarin of flour in the morning, full in the afternoon, what happens to the Levayim? Do we double it as well? What happens to the oil? Do we double it as well? We have a price. The son, you can go to Shemes. Okay, that's our case. V'loi minu achar tachtav. And we have yet to appoint a replacement. Shleim ha-shachris, shleim ha-rabayim, you bring a fully sarin in the morning and after. Fine. So far, so good. U'mafer shloch beis kamatzim. Oh. You have mafresh two. You set aside two Kaimetz amounts of Levoina, one for the morning, one for the afternoon. Kaimetz Shachris, comes in Rabbi. Regarding the oil, we don't double it. We stick to standard of three lug, and it's split into two. Umavr Shloish just lugin. We get three lug of oil, which is a standard amount. Lug Umechtza Shachris, we split into two parts, one and a half for the morning, Chavitin. Lug Umechtza, one and a half, and a half for the afternoon. Okay, so again, in terms of the flour, a full isar in the morning, full in the afternoon. In terms of the oil, no, we take the standard amount of three lug and we split it into two. In terms of the levaina, we double it. A full kaimetz in the morning, a full in the afternoon. Mani, now, who's the author of this brisa? Whose shita is this expressing? Ilim Rabbon, is it the Rabbonan? Who hold that typically, it's just a half a kaimetz of levaina, which is split into two parts when it's a regular situation of a kohen gadol himself who's bringing it. But in this case, since we're doubling the flour, we have to double the levaina. So the question is, why are we only doubling the levaina, not the oil? I mean, if you meant to double the whole recipe, ma'ishno levaina saduach pula, why is it that when it comes to levaina, we double it? But the oil, we don't. We keep it to the same original amount of three lug, which is a split into two parts. Elo, so it can't be the Rabbana. It must be Abba Yosef ben Destoy. It must be the other Shita. Abba Yosef ben Destoy, the Amar who tells us that Chavita Kohen Gadol ba'amo shnei kmatzin. That standard Chavita during a Kohen Gadol's lifetime necessitates two kaimetzes, right? One for the morning, one for the afternoon. Shnei kmatzin ba'yo. And likewise, in this case as well, in the interim system between the Kagadol's passing and the new Kagadol, we stick to the same formula. Levoina lehichpula. Although we have to double the flour, because that's just how it's going to work, because we can't bring halves, but we don't double anything else, not the levoina. We stick to the same old formula of one comes in the morning, one comes in the afternoon. And likewise, v'shama lehichpula, we stay consistent. The oil is not double it either. We take the same original recipe, three lug, we split into two. Okay, so now let's take it a step further. Umadishemen labayosib in the story of Yechbal. The fact that we see that according to Yechbal in the story, we don't double anything. Aside from the flour, which the Torah speaks about, we don't double other components of the recipe. For instance, the oil, right? So that should be an indication as to what the accepted norm is. We don't double things. No reason to double things. And that should be an indication of the Chachamim Shita as well. Let's assume that according to Rabban as well, there's no reason to double things. Not the Levaino, not the oil. So that's the conclusion. Okay, so let's just summarize all the numbers again. During a Kohen Gadol's lifetime, he brings an Isarin of flour, three lug of oil, and then he splits it into two, half offered in the morning, half in the afternoon. Levoina, Kohen Rabbanan, it's one kaimetz, again split into two. Kohen Abba Yosef ben Destoy, one full kaimetz in the morning, one full kaimetz in the afternoon. That's standard. Kohen Gadol passed away. A new one was not yet appointed. We have to bring the Chavitin. When it comes to the flour, all agree, it's a full Isarin in the morning, a full in the afternoon. But regarding the Levoina, or the Shemen, we don't change that formula. Whatever was, continues to be. Which means according to Abba Yosef ben Destoy, A kaimis in the morning, kaimis in the afternoon. According to the Rabbanon, we take the same single kaimis and split it into two. Likewise, regarding the oil, we take the three lug of oil, split it into two parts. Okay, so regarding standard procedure, during the Kohen Gadol's lifetime, we had a machlekes. Is it one kaimis levayin split into two, or is it one full kaimis in the morning, one full in the afternoon? What's the conclusion? How do we pass? Arbiyachin lo chavush yesh ben dustoyim. That it's one kaimis levayin in the morning, one in the afternoon. Ask the Gemara, really? That's Rabbi Yechanan speaking. Umi Yom Rabbi Yechanan Hachi. Is that so? The Rabbi Yechanan adopted the Abi Yossi's Shita. Vom Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan himself tells us, Halacha Kistam Mishnah. We always adopt the opinion presented in the anonymous Mishnayos. Rabbi HaKadosh specifically left out the names in certain cases so that we accept it as the prevalent view and we don't question it, and that becomes the accepted norm. So there's a Mishnah which indicates, like the Chachamim Shita, that it's only one Kaimitz and no more. But now we have that Mishnah before Chamisha Kmatzin, and there are five types of Kaimitzes. As Rashi points out, why only five? Why don't we mention also the kaimis of Levayin that comes with the Minchas Chavit? And the reason is because it's split into two parts, and that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. We're just talking about complete kaimis that are offered as a unit, rather than our kaimis which is split into two parts. And that's certainly reflective of the Chachamim Shita, who hold likewise that we take the kaimis split into two. That's a Stam Mishnah. I'm right in it. Believe the Rabbi Yechanan, two versions of Rabbi Yechanan's approach to the Psak Halach. According to some, Rabbi Yechanan held like the Stam Mishnah always. In which case, that's like the Shitas Rabbanan. According to others, he never really necessarily, adopted every Stam Mishnah, and therefore, in this case, he went like a Yosef ben Dustoy, that it's a full kaimis in the morning, full kaimis in the afternoon. Hanu lachat chayis. Continues the Mishnah. Kol ha-menachas bo'is matzah. Your typical mincha cannot be chametz. You must ensure that it's unleavened and has the status of matzah. Okay, so it's less than 18 minutes old. You know what's matzah. Chutz mechametz shebetoida, there's some exceptions. In a carbon toida, we have accompanying breads, one type of which was a chametz, which they are lechem, and the two breads on shvuis. Shembo is chametz. These are chametz. Now, how do we make chametz? We take some sort of leavening agent, which the Gemara calls sa'or, sourdough. Question is, where do we get the sourdough from? Rabbi Yomar, sa'or boidel hen mitoichen ha-machamtzen. He says, how do we make sa'or? It's made in-house. You take some of this actual flour, right? Let's say you have an isarain, which is meant to supply the chalas here, to make a chalas. You take a little bit of that isar and that amount, that pound, so to speak, and you turn it into sa'ar. There's some sort of procedure that they turned it into sourdough. And then when you're done, put it back in to the pot that you want to make chametz, and it leavens it, it bloats it, it makes it chametz. So it's all sort of self-generated. You take its own flour, a little bit out of the sarin, turn it into sar, and then you reinsert it to make Rabbi the Omer Afi Eina Min HaMufchar. That's not the best quality sar. There's not enough time there to, you need really strong and acidic, aged sar. That's not a good way to do it. Ella, I'll tell you the way to do it. Maybe it's a sar. You go find, real sar. You put it into the measuring container, let's say the sarin container. So you put it in there and you fill the flour to the top. So the sarin now counts as part of the isarin. Unrelated, so they responded to him, well, your system isn't either foolproof. I understand, the quality of the sarin is better, but you're going to be sacrificing on the other side. Why? The amount, the sheer, won't be precise, won't be perfect. Amar lo yisa chacham responded, Rabbi Yehuda, I understand, it's much better quality, I understand, but this is going to create another problem, a problem of shiur. You see, we need an isarin, a certain amount, very definite, precise amount of flour for this mincha, right? Afi yisa chasera yisera. By importing the sa'ar from the outside, putting it in, then filling the container with flour, the result will be either too little flour or too much flour. And then required. Why? Rashi explains. This imported sa'ar was mixed with very little, water. So it's sort of thick and tough and shrunken, so to speak. Vis-a-vis the flour, which is a bit more roomy in this Isaron container. So now when you fill the container to the top, you're going to be adding more flour than is typically expected in an Isaron container. Right? Because this Sa'ar that you bring in from the outside is condensed, it's concentrated, squished together. So you're going to end up with more flour when you fill the container to the top, more flour than you typically would have in a sa'ar of just plain flour, and vice versa as well. Let's say the sa'ar that you're bringing in from the outside is saturated with water, so it's sort of expanded and takes up more place than if it would just be flour, right? So now when you put it into the container and you fill it to the top, ultimately there's less flour in there than if the whole thing were just flour. The whole thing was just flour, you would have X amount. Now when you replace some of that flour with this bloated sa'ir, so due to the moisture and the bloatedness, it's taken more space than if that space would just be filled with flour. Right? It's displacing more flour from the flour content of this piece of sa'ar. So ultimately, when you fill this sa'ar container to the top, the isaron container to the top, you're putting in less flour. There's going to be less flour in there than would typically be there. So you're missing from the isaron total. That's why we prefer the other system, where you're filling the container with flour and taking out some of that flour, turning it into sa'ar, and then using it later to make it chametz, so there's no issue. It's a fully sarain, untampered. Okay, we'll pick up the Gemara tomorrow. Let's just recap today's daf. We spoke about how we finance the Parah on the Davos Shel Tzibur. Is it from the Tzibur Salishko, or is it by way of a new campaign? The Mincha Chavitin during the interim period is brought as a full Yisar in the morning, full in the afternoon. We discussed the amounts of Levoina, which is typically brought, and also, and what happens during the interim period, do we double it or not? We discussed that typically a mincha is matzah, except for some exceptions, and how we make the chametz into chametz. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.